Monster Man, episode 456, Sprite to Squid, Giant.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're taking a look at two more entries from Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. But before we do that, it's time to thank some new Patreon backers. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backers, you pledged at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I take a look at the myths and religions of the world and how to find inspiration in them for fantasy RPGs. We're currently doing a season on Tengrism, a faith from medieval Central Asia. So thank you very much, Eric Wong, Joe Yohanneman, and Benj. And if I've mispronounced anyone's names, looking at you here, Joe, I do apologize. I'm really glad that you're enjoying the show, and your support means a lot to me. All right, let's take a look at some monsters. First up, we have the Sprite. I've waited so long for this. The whole length of this podcast, I have been bewildered by the vast proliferation of a type of monster that I like to call the Lil Stinker. This term swiped from the podcast Blank Check, which used it to talk about the little mirror ashes in Army of Darkness. Lil Stinkers. Lil Stinkers are little monsters that like play pranks on people, cut their backpack straps, steal their mules, that do absurd and ridiculous things and cover you in jam and, you know, shoot your butt with a tiny little arrow and then flap away giggling on their like little pixie wings. They come in two varieties. You got your indoor little stinkers and you got your like woodland little stinkers. There are so many versions of the indoor and woodland little stinker, and they have so many different names that we get these different entries for them scattered across three monster books for monsters that are, if they might be mechanically different, they are conceptually very similar. We've already seen the indoor little stinkers combined into a single entry here in the form of the gremlin, and now we're going to get a single entry in the form of the sprite for the woodland stinkers. This is something that I have to say Monstrous Manual actually does pretty well. Here in season 5, I know that I have frequently been critical of this book, and that is partly to do, I think, with the fact that it's, you know, a little bit overwritten. It lacks some of the energy of its predecessors as a result. But one thing that it does very well is create these kind of combined entries. Look at the corpus of monsters and group the ones that belong together, even if, you know, maybe it's not perfect in making those choices. So in this entry, we've got six different creatures: the Sprite, the Sea Sprite, the Pixie, the Nixie, the Atomy, and the Grig. And if you recall those from previous episodes, they are all slightly different sizes and slightly different like levels of magical ability. Atomies are very fast, Grigs have got weird legs, Sea Sprites live in salt water, Nixies live in fresh water, Pixies can turn invisible, you know, all that sort of thing. These entries don't tell us very much that we didn't already know, but that's fine. That not necessarily for people who've already read the 1977 Monster Manual, which, you know, at this point is a decade and a half old, although of course this is an adaptation of a slightly earlier book. But even so, you know, it's been 10 years since some of these monsters appeared in print, and the little entries have some bits of quite funny writing. So for instance, when it talks about how dust of disappearance, that is pixie dust, can be made by grinding up the dried wings of pixies, it says, quote, "Naturally, pixies frown on this use of their wings," close quotes, which I thought was pretty funny. So overall, this might be another kind of meat and potatoes entry, but I think it's pretty good. In some ways, I feel like this illuminates the differences between this book and its predecessors, and I don't want to say between 2nd and 1st edition AD&D, but, you know, early editions of games often have kind of energy and creativity, right? Especially for the first years of their run, but they can sometimes lead to a kind of like confusion and proliferation. So you can see this if you look at things like early D&D, you can see it if you look at early Warhammer. If you were trying to like make a coherent whole out of those things, you might find it quite frustrating. Later editions have experience and perspective, and that can sometimes make them seem a little stolid by comparison to their more inventive, energetic, earlier counterparts. But that can also sometimes mean that they have good insight into what does and doesn't work in terms of the mechanics or the organization or the presentation of the previous edition, that they know how people have responded to the previous version. And that can mean that they possess virtues that are easy to overlook, especially if you are a reader of the text, but not a user of it. Like, I don't play AD&D 2nd edition, and I think I can guarantee I never will. I mean, maybe it's great. Look, if somebody wants to run AD&D 2nd edition for me, I will play in it, but I'm not going to run that game. I have nothing against it, but it's just, I very much doubt that's going to happen. But what that means is that you have to be cautious against the loss of perspective that comes from really only caring about whether an entry is conceptually interesting, right? That's not really what this book is for. And so sometimes it does these kind of meat and potatoes things like conveniently organize all the monsters into a single entry that are really, really useful, but they're not exactly exciting. And I don't want to overlook those. Clear organization is not the kind of compliment that people get excited about, but you miss it when you don't have it. Also, speaking of things that the second edition does really well, this entry has two great illustrations by Tony DiTerlizzi. Next up, we have the Squid Comet Giant. The Squid Comet Giant is very interesting in that like the creature does really exist, that there are these huge species of squid, but also they don't do things like drag a Viking ship to the bottom like this squid is doing in the, once again, Tony DiTerlizzi illustration. It's a great illustration because it has this kind of like schematic quality. Like it's a sort of viewed directly from the side. There's like a, you know, you can see both above and under the water. It looks like something that might be, you know, in a, like on a shield or on like the heraldry of a town, if it was just a little bit more stylized. I think that's really good. The ship in particular really looks like ships in sort of medieval Scandinavian art. I mean, obviously a bit more embellished because it's fantasy, but I like that style. I like the idea. It looks like something that might be, you know, in the margins of a map. Now, so obviously this is a familiar monster from art, movies, and so on. Perhaps the classic representation of this is the sort of giant octopus in 19th century art, but then also the giant squid in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And I think it's a little tricky to implement in a game like D&D because you don't usually see the monster face to face. If that makes sense, you just kind of like run around the deck trying to cope with it. There's no stand-up fight and it doesn't have much of a personality. So aesthetically, it's kind of evoking your memory of these earlier things. Not that that's a bad thing. It's such an adventure story classic that it needs to be included. And I think that the game actually does an okay job of this by almost treating it as like a fight against individual tentacles, which are sort of treated as separate monsters. Indeed, if we're talking about the Kraken's tentacles, they're quite potent monsters. The Kraken is a tough opponent. And of course, if you get the right kind of party, they might all be swigging potions of water breathing and grabbing their harpoons to, you know, leap into the drink and fight the creature. That could be fun too. So there is actually a lot of potential for exciting action in fighting this monster, even if it probably doesn't come up more than once in most campaigns. So I actually think that the Squid Comet Giant, again, combined here with the Kraken into a single entry, since the Kraken is basically a powered up version of the Squid Comet Giant, it's a set piece monster that is sort of iconic enough in the maritime adventure that I would keep it in. Indeed, keep it in when many of the other maritime adventure monsters from previous monster books have not made the cut. So, again, not an entry that's going to set the world on fire necessarily, but definitely one of those monsters that you go, oh, cool, giant squid fight. All right. Now, in the middle of this week, my patrons at the $2 and higher level will be getting a new episode of Patron Deities, in which we're going to talk about Tengri, the sky god. At the end of the week, we may get a special episode. It sort of depends on how quickly I get through the production of it, but we'll see how that all goes. But either way, we're going to have an all-new episode for you right here on Friday, and I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man. A show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.